Morning. So glad you're with us this morning and joining us on the live stream as well. So thankful for our middle schoolers. Actually, I got ahead of myself there. So thankful for our Kids Zone volunteers, which are more than middle schoolers, includes more people than middle schoolers, who are faithfully, consistently, systematically, and lovingly teaching the kids the Word of God week in and week out. Now, if you are a middle school boy, I need your help up on stage. So, middle school boys, come on up. If you're a middle school girl that wants to participate, you can as well, but I especially need the middle school boys. Come on up. This is going to be awesome, let me tell you. All right. So let's come to this side of the stage. And what I need you guys to do is pretend from here to here, going back, is a flowing river, like really, really going fast, or raging lava, one of the two. So what I need you to do is get from this side to that side in one jump. All right? So who's going to go first? Lucas. All right. Very good. The man in the suit. The best dressed man here. So go ahead. Go over there. All right. No, when they jump, their job is to jump. Your job is to cheer. Okay? So, all right, Lucas, whenever. Hey, do you want to go back further? Do you want to get us, like, Connor, get out? There you go. Okay. Let's do it. Very nice. Give me five. All right. Who's next? Okay. Here we go. Whoa. Nice job. Give me five. Give me five. All right. Here we go. Let's do it. Woo. Very good. Very good. All right. Here we go. Can he do it? Whoa! Oh, very good. Very nice. Hey, let's give them all one more round of applause. Very nice. All right, you guys can head back and sit down. Very good. What I want you to see and feel and experience with our middle school boys is fully committing to something. So they fully committed, man. It was full send. I think that's what the kids say now. Going to full send. And so they, all the way to 10, committed to it. They didn't just try to keep one foot on this side and try to squeak across. They went all the way. We're talking about the kingdom of God this morning. We sang about the kingdom of God this morning. And it's something that you can't half do. Like, you can't half buy a house. You can't half get married. You can't half have a baby. And you can't half join the military. It's something that if you're going to do, you got to do all the way, all the way. And so the question is, are you all in? Are you fully committed? Or are you trying to settle for half measures? We're doing a series called Kingdom Ready. And this, where we are right now in the series, is in Matthew 13, where Jesus is telling parables about the kingdom. And so before we jump in the text, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask that you would meet us in this text, that you would sit with us, and that you would stand in front of me while I'm in front of them, that you would talk over me while I talk to them. Lord, do this for our sake and your glory, and Lord, just change our lives with your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are in Matthew chapter 13. We're coming to the end of the parables. And Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. So he's out working in the field for someone else's field, and he finds treasure. Now, in the ancient Palestine, before there were banks, like, some people would hide treasures because there's a lot of marauders, there's a lot of bad guys coming through and pillaging. So it wasn't maybe that uncommon to bury a treasure, but it was extremely uncommon to find one. So he finds one. So what does he do? Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Can you see him taking the leap here? He doesn't try to keep most of what he has or keep some of what he has. He sells all of what he has, and he makes a jump to go and buy the field. Imagine selling all of what you have. Think about that as you think about all in, total commitment. Think about that. All. So you sell your house. You liquidate your assets. You sell your car. You sell your jewelry. You sell your clothes. You sell your shoes. You sell all of it. Then you're like, well, we're going to have to sell your car. And we're going to have to sell your clothes. And we're going to have to sell your cute little dog, too. Yesterday, I was reflecting on this, and when I got to your cute little dog, too, I got, ah, what? Don't worry, we're okay. This is all in. Like, you don't get to stay kind of on this side and get to that side. If you're going to get to that side, you got to sell it all and take the flying leap. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Same idea in the next parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. So Jesus is inviting us to ask, am I all in? Am I fully committed to this? Fully committed to the kingdom? Or am I still trying to hold on to what I had, and who I was, and where I was in my past? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. So, here I think we're invited to ask, what kind of fish am I? Before he gives us the analysis of the parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. The evil and the bad will be thrown into one pile and cast into the fire, and then the good will be put in a different pile in different containers, and they'll be saved for eternity. That's what Jesus is saying. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked the disciples. And they say, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every tribe, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house. So here we're supposed to ask, am I training and being trained for the kingdom? Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Here's what I think Jesus is saying about the kingdom here. I think what Jesus is saying about the kingdom, number one, is that he will finally assert his will. He will finally reign. Now, when we talk about Jesus asserting his rule, I think it's kind of like your house. Because we talk about, well, is Jesus not asserting his rule right now? Isn't God always reigning? Isn't God always on the throne? What does it mean for God to assert his rule? Well, here's why I think it's like your house. I think it's like my house. When your house is messy, does it mean that you're not in charge at your house? No. You're in charge. You're just not asserting your rule over it in that moment. And so at our house sometimes gets messy. And so we do what we call fun family cleaning, where everybody gets to participate. And we all take, we all have different jobs, and we all set our minds to it and work for about 20 minutes or half hour. Cheyenne and I are asserting our rule over the house, and the house gets cleaned up. Were we not in charge before that? Well, we were in charge, we just weren't asserting our rule. So why is there so much evil and wickedness in the world? And you look up at God and go, what are you doing? Well, when he asserts his rule, all of the wickedness finally asserts his rule, finally and fully asserts his rule. All the wickedness and evil and sin will be gathered up together and cast into the fire. This is what Jesus says in his parables. And then the righteous will shine like the sun and the stars. So Jesus comes preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God is about to assert his rule. So God began this in creation, and then with the call of Abraham, and then with Israel, and then with the Exodus, and then with the exile, and then the return from exile, and then finally in coming himself in the person of Jesus. But that's not what we're talking about right here. He also asserts his rule on the cross as he pays for our sins so that we can be fully and finally forgiven of everything we've done, of everything we've said. We can be finally and fully washed clean. His grace is bigger and better than all of our sin. He died for our sin. It's not what we're talking about right here. He came, that was him beginning to assert his rule. He died. He rose, conquering death, asserting his rule over death, rising again. And then he shares himself with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. This is like at Pentecost when they had the flames of fire over their head. This is him sharing himself with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. That's him asserting his will. But what this passage is talking about is at the end of the age. Do you see that here in verse, go back to the weeds and the tares parable that we looked at last week. So there was the real followers of Jesus and then the poisonous fake followers of Jesus that were the tares, the wheat and the tares. So verse 39, and the enemy who has sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age and the reapers are the angels. So this is when Jesus will fully and finally assert his will at the end of the age. This is also, you see this down in the one we're looking at today in verse 49. So it will be at the end of the age when God fully and finally asserts his will, fully and finally cleans up the mess. This is what will happen. He will throw them in the fiery furnace and the righteous will shine. Like, this is like really bracing teaching. And it's what we all long for when we're struggling and suffering. Like, why doesn't Jesus just come back and fix it? Because he's giving us time to repent. He's giving us time for more people to be saved. Because he's not willing that any should perish and be thrown into the fiery furnace. So he's giving us time. But the end of the age is coming when there will be no more time. When there'll be no more second chances. When we will be out of time. He says this in verses 42 and 43. He says this again in verses 49 and 50. And separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. The day is coming when we won't get another mulligan, when we won't get another do-over, when there won't be time to change sides, when there won't be time to repent anymore. The day is coming when you'll have to live with the decision that you made. So he's saying, now is the time to repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now is the time to seek forgiveness. Now is the time for a do-over. Now is the time to go and make things right with God, as he's already made them right with you by going and dying on the cross for our sins. Jesus says this here in pretty much the middle of the book in Matthew chapter 13. He comes back to this in his final teaching in Matthew 25. with the sheep and the goats, where at the end of all things, Jesus is saying, I will separate the sheep on the one hand and the goats on the other. And the goats, the people who have chosen evil, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I just want you to see that this is a theme Jesus comes back to again and again and again, that you really need to make the decision now while you can for him and for his kingdom, that you repent of your sin, that you repent of your own way, that you repent of going in the wrong direction, and that you follow him. So what we've said is, number one, Jesus is saying that this age will end. He has said this twice in chapter 13. He said this with the parable of the weeds and the wheat, and now he said this again with the parable of the net. This age will end. And then he repeats it at the end of the book in Matthew chapter 25. So what are we supposed to do? Well, he's imploring us to fully commit to him. This is why I had our young men make the jump and fully commit to the jump, like to get across the stream. Like when you are going to cross the stream and you don't want to get wet, you fully commit to it. When you want to get in the boat from the dock, but you don't really want to get wet, you can only stand between the boat and the dock for so long until you have to make a decision about whether you're going to stay on the dock or get into the boat. When you're trying to decide whether or not you trust the plane, and you are in the boarding gate, and you're like, I don't know. Like, you can only stay there for so long, and finally you have to make a decision. Get on or get off. And Jesus is inviting us to fully commit. So this is why he tells us, it's like a guy who finds a treasure in a field, and he goes and liquidates all of his assets. He sells everything, and he goes all in to buy the field. You saw that there when we were reading through it, and I made the joke about the cute little dog. Then, Jesus says this again for emphasis. It's like finding a pearl of great price, and he goes and he sells all that he has to buy. He goes all in. He fully commits. No half measures. He fully commits. You know, when I was studying for this and reading this, it reminded me of a lot of a guy who had a real problem with this. So in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus has this guy come up to him that says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, this is the million-dollar question. What do I need to do to go to heaven? And how do I get eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you know what the commandments are. Keep the commandments. And Jesus lists a couple, and the guy goes, good, I'm good. I've done all that since my youth. So remember what Jesus says next? Those of you who know your Bibles, you've been here a while. What does Jesus say next? Hey, doesn't that sound a lot like went, sold, bought, goes, sells, buys? Jesus tells the rich young ruler, go, sell, give. Isn't that similar? But what happens? He goes away sad. If Jesus invited him to give a big gift, make a big donation, do something hard, if Jesus invited him to a half measure, maybe he would have been good for that. But he was not ready to go all in. He was not ready to make the big jump. Jesus calls us to full, total commitment to him, to be all in. How does that sit with you? Does that sound like something you're doing? You know, I wonder if it's a decision we have to keep making. I wonder if it's a decision that you see people make early in their lives of, I am all in. And then later in their lives, you see them compromise, and then secrets come out, and then finds out they've been living a lie for a long time. You wonder if they stopped repenting at some point, if they stopped turning away from the world's pull and towards Jesus at some point. I wonder if it's something, if this is a decision we have to keep making again and again and again to follow Jesus very, very closely. Jesus, number one, will end this age. He will finally and fully assert his rule. The time will come when we're out of time and we'll have to live with the decisions that we've made. Number two, he calls us to total commitment to him. And then number three, he trains us for the kingdom. So therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom is like a master of the house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. So he brings out of himself, out of what he's treasured up in himself, treasure what is new and old. This is different than what Jesus says about what defiles us in Matthew chapter 15. He says, it's not food that defiles us. It's what comes out of our mouth that defiles us. It's the poisonous things we say or the defiled things that we do. That's what really defiles us, not the stuff that we touch or handle. So how do we train for the kingdom? Well, think of what Jesus has said about the kingdom so far in Matthew chapter 13. He said the kingdom is like a mustard seed, which starts very small and then grows very big. And the disciples know now that the kingdom, God's reign, needs to become very big in their lives, a very big part of their lives, so that they can rest like the birds in its branches. It needs to become very big. It also needs to permeate their lives. It's like leaven that works its way all the way through the loaf. They're like, they understand that God's reign and God's rule, Jesus' teaching, needs to work its way all the way through their lives so that they don't have pockets where it hasn't worked through, but it's all the way through their lives. They understand that this is something they have to fully commit to, like a guy who finds treasure buried in a field and goes and sells all that he has so that he can get this treasure. They understand it's like a pearl of great price that they have to fully commit to buying. They can't half buy, they got to fully buy it. And so they're going to sell everything they have to buy this treasure of a pearl. This is how Jesus trains us for mission. It's how he changes our lives. The kingdom, his reign, becomes big in our lives. It permeates our lives. And it's something we go all in on. So when we think about how Jesus will assert his kingdom rule, how he'll call us to total commitment, and how he is training us for mission, what should we do? I think Jesus is calling us to repent of half measures for total commitment to Christ. You know, the analogy Jesus used was, follow me. Remember, that was his command. It's metaphorical for us because we follow his way of life, but follow me. Think about following someone. Can you half follow someone? When we were in D.C., we were visiting Cheyenne's brother out in D.C., and we're going to drive downtown. And we don't know where we're going, and they don't really know where to tell us where they're going because they're going to find a parking spot in the middle of the day in downtown D.C., which is a great experience all in itself. So her brother is a police officer, and he tells me, we're going to drive like the SWAT team. And so you're going to be in back, and I'm going to be in front. And you're going to follow me about this far apart. A bumper is going to be about this far apart the whole time. And when I want to make a left-hand turn, I'm going to put on my left-hand turn signal. And when there's a slight opening, you're going to go over, and then I'm going to follow you over. When I want to make a right-hand turn, I'm going to put on my, he's in front. I'm going to put on my right-hand turn signal, and then you're going to put on yours. You're just going to make a way over, then I'll follow. And so we're going to be about this far apart the whole time. Let no one between us. So I'm like, yeah, let's do this. And so, you know, we're all cool and stuff in our minivans. And so, you know, like, we're and our kids in the back. And so we're driving through the Beltway and then downtown D.C. And the whole time, Cheyenne is gasping and clutching my arm and raging mad, but also thankful that she's not driving and that we're still behind them. And, like, if I tried to half follow Jeff, how would that have gone? You know, if he's a quarter mile in front of me and I don't really know where he's going, and how would that have gone? You can't half follow Jesus. You can't kind of follow Jesus. Jesus is saying, get behind me and stay there and don't let anyone between us. The question is, are we all in? Have we sold out, made the jump, surrendered totally to Jesus as our Lord and Savior? I think this is what you want. I mean, would you want anything less? Would you want a proposal to go like this? I love you so much. Would you half marry me? I'd love to spend at least half my life with you. I'd like to have half a kid with you. Like, don't you want and aspire to total, full, all the way to 10 commitment? And don't you want to, like, give your life to something bigger than yourself, better than yourself? Not kind of half commit to something, but go all in, make the jump, total commitment to something. Make it to someone. That is Christ. He said, you want to find your life, you have to lose it. Lose your life by giving it to Him. That's the way of flourishing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you did this for us, that you fully committed to showing up and walking among us and dying for our sins and rising again on the third day. Lord, we thank you that you went all in for us. Help us, Lord, surrender all the way to tend to you. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.